This is Cliff Mass, and welcome to my weather podcast. Each week, I talk about current weather, provide a forecast for the weekend and beyond, and give you more details about an interesting weather phenomenon.
I am often asked, what do I think about climate change? Are human beings modifying the climate of our planet? What does the best science say? What are the uncertainties? Are the media and politicians providing reliable information? All of these topics I will discuss on this podcast. First, let me clarify some terminology. When folks use the term climate change today, they generally don't mean a long-term change in climate forced by both natural and human processes. No, what they mean is that they're talking about human-caused alteration of the climate, mainly forced by our emissions of greenhouse gases and predominantly CO2, carbon dioxide, and methane. These gases act as thermal blankets and thus contribute to the warming of the planet. The old name for this human-caused warming was anthropogenic global warming, but that term has recently fallen into disfavor. But it really was a far more accurate term. And this is the terminology that I tend to use in this podcast and other places. Now, before I go into detail, let me provide the bottom line of this podcast. Increasing greenhouse gases due to human emissions are warming our planet slowly. Global warming is not an existential threat to humanity, but it is a serious problem that needs to be addressed both by reducing emissions and by adapting to the inevitable changes. The media, many politicians, and even some scientists have hyped and exaggerated the threat, potentially doing great damage to society. Now, before I talk about the science of global warming and of the warming planet, there's a few things I want to get off my chest. I'm often asked whether I believe in climate change. Well, scientists don't believe in scientific principles or ideas. One does not believe in gravity. One does not believe in fluid dynamics or anything else. Belief is a religious concept. Scientists propose hypotheses and test them with observations. We develop theory, which describes reality with equations and mathematics. And then we see how reality agrees or disagrees with our theory. We think, scientists think, in terms of probabilities and not certainties. I have never heard any scientist in any scientific meeting use the term believe. We don't believe. I'm also unsettled and disturbed when someone used the term denier, like climate denier. This is another religious and political term that has no place in the scientific world. But it is worse than that. The denier talk is a play on a term used for the Holocaust, Holocaust denier. And this makes this kind of terminology very hurtful and very inappropriate. Science discourse never uses the term denier. It's not used at meetings or any place else, and neither should you use this. Well, next, let's talk about the science of anthropogenic global warming. The role of greenhouse gases, such as CO2, in warming the planet has been known for at least 120 years, based on the work of Swedish scientist Svante Arrhenius, who laid out the basic theory in a very famous 1898 paper. Without gases, without what we call greenhouse gases, CO2, water vapor, and methane, the Earth would be a frozen ice ball and inhospitable to human life. Solar radiation peaks in the visible portion of the electromagnetic spectrum. That's what comes in from the sun and passes generally through the atmosphere without much problem. And it warms the surface, which in turn can warm the lower atmosphere by some of the heat mixing up. But the surface also emits irradiation in the infrared part of the spectrum. Now, greenhouse gases are active. Greenhouse gases like CO2 and water vapor are active in the infrared portion of the electromagnetic spectrum. And this sends radiation from the Earth out into space. It also absorbs some of the radiation and sends it back down to the Earth. And in sending some of the radiation, some of the infrared radiation back to the Earth, it slows the loss of heat from the Earth and, in fact, ends up warming the surface. In a real sense, greenhouse gases act like blankets, which warms us not by producing heat, but by slowing the loss of heat away from our skin. Strangely, the effect that I just talked about doesn't occur in greenhouses. So the name is really a terrible misnomer. The glass in greenhouses allows solar radiation in, just like the atmosphere. But it turns out the glass in the greenhouse is not effective in slowing or lessening the loss of infrared radiation. And it doesn't emit radiation back down to the greenhouse. Rather, the glass simply acts to prevent the warm air from mixing out or blowing away. So that's really interesting. The greenhouse effect doesn't happen in greenhouses. Now, even though the warming gases, like CO2 and water vapor, their effect has been known since the late 1800s, there was little concern about global warming or climate change for most of the 20th century. The Northern Hemisphere had just come out of the Little Ice Age, which occurred from roughly 1600 to the mid-1800s. This was a cold period, and the warming, quite frankly, was welcome. Furthermore, there was a turn towards cooler weather again from the late 1940s through the early 1970s, and many scientists were worried not about warming, but by cooling that was driven by the increases of smoke and pollutants in the atmosphere. There was all kinds of talk of a new ice age coming. It wasn't about global warming if you went back to 1950 and 1960. But the ideas about global warming were about to change. The cooling trend had ended by around 1975, and the Earth had begun to warm up again. And with improved scientific understanding, and the availability of the first climate models, a better idea of the potential warming, or the potential to have warming, developed in the 60s and 70s. And CO2 levels also began to rise more quickly as the world rapidly industrialized, with all major economies based on fossil fuels as a primary energy source. The famous Charney Commission took place during that period, chaired by meteorologist Jules Charney. And this group suggested that doubling the concentrations of CO2 in the atmosphere would warm the planet by approximately 3 degrees centigrade, or 5 degrees Fahrenheit. And the physics of warming the lower atmosphere was described in great detail by a famous paper by Manabe and Weatherall in 1967. This paper also noted that increasing CO2 would not only warm the troposphere, the lower part of the atmosphere, but it would cool the stratosphere at the same time, an important test. Interestingly, all the scientific and technical developments of the past 50 years has hardly altered the estimate of warming associated with doubling CO2 that Charney Commission put out 50 years ago. Pre-industrial levels of CO2 were about 280 parts per million, and today we're about 420. A reasonable scenario of the future growth of CO2 suggested it will double by around 2070, after which the growth should cease. Climate models, which simulate the evolution of the atmosphere, the ocean, the surface, such as the ice, have become key tools in understanding and predicting the climate. And we can drive these climate models by what we think will happen with CO2 over the next century. That's how they work. Climate models are sort of like the weather forecast models, plus the ocean. We just change the amount of CO2 in there and other gases. Now, there is little doubt that the atmosphere is responding to higher CO2 and methane levels. We're seeing the lower troposphere warm and the stratosphere is cooling. So it's definitely happening. Now let's talk about the climate models. It appears that most climate models are modestly oversensitive to increasing greenhouse gases such as CO2, and they produce too much warming in the lower atmosphere, the troposphere, particularly in the upper troposphere in the tropics. It's thought that the model's problems probably originate in deficiencies in describing clouds and precipitation. And clouds are important because they reflect solar radiation back to space. So there's problems with the clouds. I know there are problems with clouds. I work on this. There are also problems with the ocean models that we couple the atmospheric models to, and between the interactions between the atmosphere and the oceans. There are known problems. And I should also note that we have several dozen climate models that are run, and they don't even agree, even with the same greenhouse gas increases. I am hopeful, though. I think we can expect slow, steady progress in improving these climate models, but they are not perfect. They have major deficiencies. Now, climate models that we have today do not suggest any climate tipping points that you hear so much about during the next century. And a tipping point is a transition where the CO2 or whatever gas gets large enough, and all of a sudden there's a rapid change in climate from which there's no return. Well, quite honestly, these models don't suggest that. And they also suggest there is nothing special about global warming reaching 1.5 degrees or 2 degrees centigrade. I mean, these transitions mean nothing. They're just arbitrary. Now, there's a lot of talk about extreme weather with global warming, with many media outlets and politicians talking about the existential threat to our species from climate change and its extreme weather. Now, most of this apocalyptic talk is poorly grounded in science or model projections. For hurricanes, there has been little trend in strength and frequency to date of hurricanes. Certainly, the landfalling storms in the United States have not increased. And the best predictions suggest that there should be a small increase in the stronger the storms, especially later in the century. Sea level, the model suggests it will rise slowly, perhaps 1 to 2 feet by the end of the century, compared to the levels around 1900. Heat waves will become more frequent and warmer. There's no doubt about that. But cold temperatures, which actually kill far more people than heat waves, will be lessened. Since warm air holds more water vapor than cooler air, precipitation will gradually increase over a warming planet. And the best model output that I've seen suggests that extreme precipitation, heaviest amounts, will increase by maybe 15 to 40% over the remainder of the century. Now, global warming is a reality, and it's going to have costs and problems. But it is not an existential threat. A richer and technologically more advanced humanity can take many steps to adapt, such as the expansion of the use of air conditioners or hardening coastal zones so sea level rise is not as much of a problem. Far better weather prediction that we have today can help warn and protect populations from threats. There is a reason that deaths from extreme weather is down 95% over the past century. And simultaneously, in addition to the adaptations and better forecasts, we can move as quickly as we can, that's reasonable. We can move to nuclear power and to renewable energy sources. And eventually, with large energy sources, we can pull CO2 out of the atmosphere. In short, global warming, climate change is a serious issue, but one we have the technology and science to deal with. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to my podcast. Feel free to send me your questions or any topics you would like me to cover. This podcast will be available every Friday morning on my blog and major podcast platforms. If you would like to support this podcast, feel free to use the Patreon link on my blog. See you next time.